back, pulls up the three, boom, knocks it down. Curry from the corner at three, puts it in.
For overtime, makes it, Garrett, Murray.
Welcome to this edition of the MVP Cast from me, Mark Woods. My guest this time is a real anomaly in the world of British basketball, a small world maybe, of course, a coach from the UK earning his living in another country. In this case, this season at the helm of Luxembourg League side AB Contern, where he signed on for a second spell last summer. He is, of course, Gavin Love, who joins me now. Gavin, welcome to the MVP Cast.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Let's talk first about Brits coaching overseas. You could probably count, I guess, on two hands the number of us who are doing that. It's your third season doing so. And before maybe we look about why it's such an unusual occurrence, I wonder if you could share why you decided to make that kind of move when you took your first job away, which was with the Copenhagen Wolfpack in Denmark, I think 4 years ago.
I think at the time, quite simple, Mark. I didn't have a job and I was looking for an opportunity, and Copenhagen gave me, you know, my first opportunity abroad, and it happened very quickly. I have a very good agent that put me in contact with those guys, and the general manager Tommy Nielsen spoke at length, and basically just got on a plane and started the season with the Copenhagen Wolfpack, and it was a fantastic experience. The weather was a little different. It was pretty freezing most of the time, but I really enjoyed it. It's Copenhagen is a wonderful city, and I had a young and up and coming team, and we did a great job. I think that the previous season they were in 10th place, and we went to, I believe, fourth or fifth, if I remember correctly, and it was a great experience for me, being able to coach against many different coaches from different nations and different styles, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I mean, Denmark's a very solid mid-tier EuroLeague, and we saw that a few weeks ago when Bakken Bears beat Leicester in the first round of the Basketball Champions League. And I wonder what, when you went there, you found was the biggest difference between coaching in that league and the BBL?
I think, as I briefly mentioned, the styles, I think in the BBL, I hear it often referred to as a mini-NBA, where it's very athletic. No true size, you know, the centers are rare, true centers, I would say. And the game is very quick, I would say. For Denmark, in my experience, it was the players there were probably a little more fundamental. I would say overall, the teams were better shooting teams. And like I said, really a lot of teams had big guys on the pivot spot. And so it was completely different. And I think it took a little time for me to adjust. And there were certainly less foreign players in that league as well. But it was strong. Like you said, Bakken and Horsens, the period that I was there, were very tough teams. We actually did very well against Bakken, only losing to them by 3 points and 1 point. Probably some of our best games. Like you said, it's a solid league, a very similar level, I would say, although a different style to the BBL.
When you go to somewhere like that, I mean, you come out into the BBL as a player, then you make the transition straight away to coach. How, when you go to somewhere else, does that or did that force you to raise your own kind of coaching game?
I think coaching-wise in the UK, I didn't have any real mentors or a great experience in coaching. I just started out as a player, as you know, and a captain of a team, and you just learn as you go. And I think when I got the job at Plymouth, it was, you know, it was unexpected, I would say. And you learn on the fly. And I think when you come to European basketball, it is tougher. And the coaching elements, for sure, there are, like I said before, many different coaches from different backgrounds. And you learn from them. It is difficult at first because you're, you know, like a fish out of water, to be honest with you. And it is new. But I was lucky because I had a good team and good people. And if you have that around you, good things happen. So I was very lucky.
There's a lot of those coaching opportunities in the BBL, and you weren't any different. They come when a former player is kind of just handed the role without any real experience. And I guess overwhelmingly, history kind of shows that route either doesn't work out at all, or at best a coach might survive, but they never go on anywhere else. They never continue. Many end up dropping out of the game completely at the end of it. What do you think now that maybe we should be doing better in this country to create that pathway for players to transition successfully into not just coaching one team, but coaching for the longer term?
Well, I think I can only speak from my experience. If we're honest with ourselves, players going to through to the coaching ranks, it happens. But I think that, first of all, you know, an assistant coaching position would be helpful, and bringing in foreign coaches that have more experience, I think, can only be a good thing for teams and franchises and the BBL as a whole. I think that a player going straight into the coaching role, a head coach, is a difficult one. I'm very thankful that I was able to have that opportunity, because I wouldn't be here today. But I do think that the BBL maybe could look further afield into Europe and recruit, and maybe that would help our younger coaches or aspiring coaches to learn different parts of the game. And I'm sure as a player, if you have a Spanish coach 1 year and a couple of years later a Lithuanian coach, you're going to learn different facets of the game. I think that would be a positive.
Who did kind of, I mean, without having that sort of mentor, maybe just on hand, where did you reach to kind of get those little insights, or maybe just that support or knowledge maybe that you couldn't get sort of from that kind of mentor?
I think for young coaches, you need to take the opportunity to do as much as you possibly can outside your own country. I mean, I went to Rome, and I kind of shadowed EuroLeague coach there for a week while he was coaching his team. I coached in Las Vegas Summer League. I went to Gran Canaria and coached as a head coach there in the Summer League for a couple of summers running. And I think you have to expose yourself to other coaching, to other coaches, and you build relationships. And I think it's not just the basketball while you're at the Summer League. You go and, you know, you have a drink and sit down with other coaches and just discuss philosophies and approaches and their history, their experiences. And for me, that was how I would, you know, probably say some of my growth happened, just by being able to mix with country coaches from around the world.
That, I mean, it requires a networking, or it requires, you know, introductions, etc. When you're coming from this country, where the basketball pedigree isn't huge and coaches maybe aren't naturally thought of as, you know, trailblazers, etc. I mean, how did you go about creating that sort of ecosystem for yourself? Was it just calling people? Was it emailing people? What was the moves that you made to get those doors open?
Do you know what, Mark? It's funny you mentioned that, because it seems so long ago that I'm having a trouble remembering how I first got a foot in the door, shall we say. I think probably my first kind of exposure was to go to the CBA Gran Canaria Basketball Academy. I think it's a great academy out there, and I watched them work, and I met some other coaches and some general managers of some basketball teams in Spain there, and they invited me to come along to the Summer League. And there we built a relationship over years, and I obviously still keep in contact with them today, together with the coaches that were at that Summer League. So that's really how it began. I truly can't even remember how I got... Oh, actually, Daryl Reshaw, he's been a great help. I'm sure you know him.
Great player, in his day.
I can't remember who put me in contact with Daryl, but I speak to him often and scout in terms. He invited me to Las Vegas, and that's how that relationship began. And Las Vegas is a great place to meet coaches and meet players, and it's a great exposure for you. And it does put pressure on you, because it's something new, and I believe that young coaches need to do that. They need to put themselves out there into potentially uncomfortable situations, and you know, just coach and have fun with it.
Las Vegas, obviously, to hang out, it's not the worst place in the world, though.
Oh, it's awful.
When you go to a big summer league place like that, and obviously a lot of people are scouting, guys are there just to network, you're looking at players, you're trying to get coaching opportunities, how much do you, or what's the way that, as a process, maybe you go out to something like that to take the most opportunity? Is it a case of trying to make yourself seen? Is it a case of trying to speak to many people as possible? Is it just trying to do a good job coaching? What's the methodology?
I think really, you know, you talk to people, and you network, of course. But really, I think if you're coaching well, there are a lot of people there, general managers, coaches, scouting. They see you coach. They see your approach. Obviously, you practice as well during the days, not just games. and people, you know, just observe you. And I think from that, someone may like you or maybe they don't. And I think that's pretty much it. I think that I'm a big believer in coaches, you know, if you're good enough, you'll get somewhere. And same with players. If you're good enough, you'll play and you'll rise to the rank. So that's pretty much it, really.
You're back in Luxembourg, and I remember you and I sat down for a coffee in a very, very pretty centre of Luxembourg City a few years ago, and you really loved the situation there, and you're back at Contern, you're unbeaten, top of the second division, it's all going well. Explain the setup of the club that you have there and the team that you have.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I love Luxembourg and I love AB Contern. We have 450, don't quote me on the numbers, by the way, but we have around 450, 500 members of the club. We have, you know, a range of teams, the ladies teams and men's teams, first and second teams for the men's and the ladies. They do an amazing job of developing their youth with only two import players. The structure of the league is such that you must bring through the talent through the ranks, and AB Contern do a fantastic job of that. I think my daughter is 3 years old and she goes to a Saturday morning baby bulletin, and there's 60, 70 kids at 3 and 4 years old being coached there in the mornings, and the structure of the club is such that there is a smooth transition from age group to age group, and every year great players are coming through. Obviously, the general manager, the president, they do an amazing job at the club. Women's side of things have a general manager, as does the men's side. We have a spectacular facility, which is a 3-minute walk up the road from where I'm situated. So, to be honest with you, it couldn't be better for me.
What's the scope of your day-to-day involvement? Is it just the first team, if we can call it that, or do you get involved with the other teams? How does it work?
No, I coach the first team. And I coach the Aspires, which stands for Hope, which is the under 21 team. And I coach the Cadets, which is an under 18s team as well. And I think that's important. That probably is the structure around the league for most professional coaches. I think it's important that with the same coach, you can have a smooth transition from one team to the next. Many of my Aspires are on the first men's team, and many of my Cadets are on the Aspires team. Running the same system, so it's a, like I said, a flawless, smooth transition from one team to the next. And then you have other coaches coach through the younger levels, which we have meetings with, etc. And we have a youth commission of, I think maybe 6 to 10 people organising the youth setup. So yeah, it's great.
The first team, is that a full-time squad, or do you have guys who have day jobs, or how does that work?
We have two full-time professionals, and we have guys that also have jobs, and we have students as well. We have very young team. The average age of our team is 23 years old, so the future is definitely bright.
You left, though, to come back to Plymouth last year, and there's not many times when a coach leave and then return a year later. A lot of people were surprised that you departed the Raiders, you know, your club, that with your hometown club, you were associated with them for so long. Why come back to Luxembourg second time around?
Well, you know, it's a very difficult thing to explain, but really the reason that, you know, I left Contern in the first place was, you know, I had a 4-year contract, and I think we all do things on the spur of the moment, which we deem best for our families, and a 4-year contract in the BBL was something that, you know, I took. And at the time, it was the right decision. But after spending 1 year in Plymouth, I think that we realised that the best opportunity for my family and my kids. I have two young girls now, and the fact that we just love this place, we love AB Contern and the people here, and this feels like home to us. So I don't think it was a situation that I didn't want to coach Plymouth anymore. It was the fact that I really wanted to coach AB Contern.
I mean, Plymouth last year, it was new ownership, and it's, you know, guys that you know well, and then you don't make the playoffs, and it's a club that you've got that emotional connection to. I mean, how tough was that personally, not to realise what, I guess, the ambition that you'd set out at the start of the year?
Well, I think that it was difficult, but I think if we're honest with ourselves, we had many off-court issues, which are, you know, were obvious to everybody. We lost a bunch of players that weren't replaced, and it was a difficult season for us. There's no question. I personally still enjoyed it. I always enjoyed coaching, but I think it was difficult. Really, that had no reflection on me leaving the team in any manner at all. The reason I left was because I wanted to return to AB Confident, and that was it. Really.
You said, Joe, so you got your young girls, you got your wife there with you this season. How much of a benefit is that, not having, which I know you had in Copenhagen, that it was almost a long distance relationship at times?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's really difficult. But here it's the perfect situation. We're only, a 10-minute drive into the city centre, which obviously you're familiar with. The village itself is spectacular, and the people really make us feel as a family, you know, at home. My wife and my kids absolutely love it here. It's there's nowhere in the world I'd rather live, and people can say that, but I think that we really mean that. My daughter has started school now, and she's really enjoying it, learning the language, etc. So she's going to be talking Luxembourgish way before I am.
How is your Luxembourgish after 2 years there?
Oh, it's not good, Mark. I'm not going to lie. it's not good at all. But thankfully, everybody else speaks English, and I have promised everyone that I will take lessons. But my daughter is picking it up quickly, so that's okay.
How is that juggling act? Because you're coaching three teams, and obviously you're traveling a bit. How is the juggling act with playing dad, with being coach?
Well, I think when you say traveling a little bit, Luxembourg is the furthest away game is half an hour, and it's spectacular. I get to spend away days in the BBL, where 6 hours there, 6 hours back. Here, I spend the whole day with my family, and then it takes 20 minutes to get to a game. So it's fantastic.
What, when you look back at your playing career, and obviously you had that great run in Plymouth, I think it was 13 years that you played there, as a club. How did I guess that prepare you with playing in the league? And you had lots of different coaches came through there, and it was playing at NBL and into the BBL. And how does that sort of set you up for this kind of lifestyle that you have now?
Well, I don't think it set me up for the lifestyle, because obviously I only ever played for one team and I never played abroad. But in terms of understanding players' mentalities, their needs, how to get the best out of players, I think that playing certainly helps. I mean, there are great coaches now that really haven't played too much, and there are, maybe not so great coaches that have played many years. But I think that it definitely helps for sure. And my playing days were great. I very much enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed coaching as well. I think playing is a lot easier than coaching, that is for sure.
You turned 40 this year. What did you do to celebrate?
Actually, we had just across the road, I have a fantastic restaurant and bar. It's maybe 30 feet away, which is always helpful. We had the team and the general managers and presidents of the club came in, and some of my friends and obviously my family, and we had some great food and partied the night away.
Did it make you think about life in that way now? You've got kids, you turned 40, you've got a proper job, I guess, as we would call it. Any philosophical change that brought?
I think that, as you know, when you have children, your what's important to you changes somewhat, but at the same time, that was one of the reasons that we returned, because I absolutely believe the quality of life here is better to that in the UK. That's just my point of view, obviously, and we love living here, and the basketball is a huge part of our life, and like I said, my daughter and my wife are always at the basketball games and the courts. And it's easy to do here. They met the club here, make it a real family event, which, but is very difficult maybe in the BBL. And here we feel, ingrained into the basketball club and the team. So we're loving life here, and we couldn't really ask for more. We're treated brilliantly here by the club. So I can't really say anything better about it, really.
We've got this season the first time that we've got a guy who's coached in the BBL, now a head coach in the NBA. I don't know, obviously that's a long way off for someone like yourself, but does it, I think for coaching the BBL or being through the BBL, does it increase that level of aspiration maybe just a little to know that maybe at the end of that tunnel, that opportunity could come your way one day?
I think realistically that's a very tough ask. I think you have to have amazing contacts for things like that. And I'm pretty sure
Nick Nurse.
Remind me. Pardon, Nick, sorry. Not Chris. I'm thinking of...
Not Chris, much to his chagrin, I suspect.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. I think Nick has had a journey where he's been to other clubs as well. He hasn't gone directly, obviously, from the BBL. So I think that BBL is a good starting point, like many mid-level team leagues in Europe. And I think, like most jobs, you just have to keep working and you go up the ladder, you know, and move forward. And obviously, Nick said, great opportunity, and he seized it with both hands. But of course, I think it certainly means that it's possible. But a difficult path, I'm sure.
You look back at the BBL now, how much do you, particularly with Plymouth, how much do you follow the games, sneak a quick look in Synergy at what they're doing, etc.?
To be honest with you, up till now, not really. I mean, I've got my hands full here, and all I'm really interested in is what we're doing here in Luxembourg. We have a goal from the club is to get into the top two and get promoted, it's early days. That's a long way away, but I'm sure I will, you know, look at it. I hope them for doing well. I really truly wish them all the best. Like I said, I've been there for a long time. I'm sure they'll do well. They have some good players, good coach, and the organisation is growing. So I'm sure they'll do well. But I did see that the London Royals entered the league and they have some great talent. So you know, I'm sure, and we're obviously Leicester Riders in European basketball. That's great, and that's that's been a long time coming. It's fantastic that a BBL team is taking that step forward. And I think, you know, if they can continue to compete and maybe grab a win here or there, it'll be a great advertisement for the BBL.
Last couple of things: if you see a young British coach now looking long term, who maybe has that aspiration to venture beyond the confines of these islands, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think we briefly touched on it. I think you've just got to be exposed to different experiences, different teams, different other coaches, summer leagues. I would get out and take every experience that's possible. I think that's the only way forward. I think if you just stay, you know, in the BBL, no matter what your results, I think it is tough to move on. It's very difficult because, as you said before, very few people have done it. And then I will add, when you get to Europe, you have to win. As we all know, basketball, you know, it's a business and you just must win. So it's not easy, but it's definitely possible. But it does come down to contacts. Bob, you must have a good record in the BBL as well.
Is that useful to be, because in a sense, it sounds like you're much more outside your comfort zone when you've gone overseas than maybe you ever were when you were in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel more comfortable here than potentially the BBL, and I'm not sure why that is. But like I said to you before, we have great people around you, and they let you get on with your job. And it's been great. And also at the club, we have a lot of good coaches at our club as well. We have a lot of great youth coaches, and the women's coaches is very good. And we all work together in a way. I feel very comfortable here. But young coaches, it is a difficult job to get into, for sure. But I'm always open. If any young British coach wanted to come out and see Luxembourgish basketball and how this club and potentially other clubs are run and how we do things at all levels, whether that be professional or youth level, I'm more than open to that. But I've never had any calls from the English Basketball Association or anything like that. And maybe they should give me a ring.
Are you surprised by that?
Not really. I don't really know many people from the English Basketball Association, if I'm completely honest with you.
There you go. The Love Airbnb in Luxembourg is open for business, everyone. You heard here first. Gavin, it's been a pleasure having you on the MVP cast today. You've started the season unbeaten. Long may that continue for your campaign over in Luxembourg, and we'll be keeping tabs on you. But thanks very much for joining us on this edition.
Thanks very much. Thank you very much, man. And I appreciate you giving me a call.
Well, that is it for this edition of the MVP Cast. We're available to listen via iTunes, on Stitcher, and now as well on Spotify and via your smart devices on TuneIn Radio. Or you can stream every edition via MVP247.com. Just click on the podcast page where you can also find details of how to support the podcast. Or you can also pick up our recent chats with the likes of Dante Nicholas, Flo Larkai, and Rachel Van Der Vol. A new edition of the MVP Cast coming soon. But for now, for me, Mark Woods, it's goodbye.